Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And here we are for another week of the fifth and last NRL podcast. And Boxhead, we're back together after a couple of weeks.
We are.
Been a bit of a mixed bag. I apologise for no review last week. That was on me because of flood works. So by the time we got to Wednesday, there was no point. So we just skipped that one altogether. But normal transmission this week, a day late. But regardless, we'll talk some footy, have a bit of a catch-up. See what's going on. But for yourself, mate, cup on the weekend, first loss for the season.
Yeah, first loss. But we promoted a few up to first grade who went well, which was good to see. So Doggies were pretty good. We bumped them early, but they came home strong. So good competitive game of footy, and you're not going to win them all. So we'll jump back on the horse and go again this week.
No, like you said, Schiller's gone up and taken his opportunity. Obviously, Chevy, long-awaited debut on the weekend, was very, very solid. And his first game, Simi the week before, Trey back in action. So been a few guys obviously go up and take their opportunity with both hands, which is what you want.
Yeah, and the, like going up and the NRL is winning, you know, that's probably the most important thing.
Yeah, they're not just doing their job. Not just playing a part, they're contributing to a win.
Yeah.
So all positives, but let's jump in and talk about some of the footy from this week. Friend, it kicked off Thursday, the Knights at home, which I thought was going to be a pretty important game. They've had a lot of home games so far against the Roosters in 22-20. A little bit of controversy at the end, a couple of opportunities, a line break. They weren't able to find any support, and then obviously caught just inside the 10 there. A lot of people thought what should have been a penalty and an opportunity to tie things up. But I think probably the bigger thing here was they started like an absolute house on fire for 15 minutes. Looked like they could absolutely run away with it. And then the Roosters just completely flipped the script. They went down Main Street. Joey Manu just changed the dynamic of their attack. It seemed the way that he played just straightened them up, and they played a bit more off momentum. Quick play the balls and eyes up, as opposed to sometimes they, you know, probably play a little bit too structured and a bit sideways off preempted shifts. It really seemed to free up the Roosters.
Yeah, it did. It did. Weird game of footy. A lot of momentum swings in it. A bit of controversy in that last one. You've seen them given, you've seen them not given. It's just one of those things, isn't it? It's particularly at the end of a game. When the game's in the balance, sort of referees, I think, probably err on the side of caution and let the game flow a little bit more than what they would have if that was, say, the first half or the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, I guess talking point today, Joey Manu finally announced that he's heading to Japanese rugby for a couple of years. The way I've read it, the season doesn't quite cover the two full seasons of the NRL, so there's sort of a window ajar there to return in a couple of years' time. But games like that, and we've already seen it for New Zealand, I didn't think it was much of an argument. Some people were saying that game proves that he's a fullback. I think we've known for a while that he's a quality fullback. He's just in a team where they've got a bloke who's obviously played New South Wales and Australia, and he's also probably the best centre in the world.
Yeah, it's Jesus, disappointing to see him go, though.
Well, fingers crossed. That two-year stay and the fact that it crosses over might see an opportunity for him to come back. But 29, I think Teddy's got another year or so to run. I don't know if he'll be gone by then. I'd have to look, but maybe there's an opportunity for him to come back and take that number one jersey in a couple of years' time.
Maybe, yeah.
But he was the real standout in this game. The other argument a lot of people had is, could he maintain that level of performance week in, week out, like 30-plus touches, 300 and something meters. He was absolutely incredible. But I think for me, it was just more the flow and effect that he had, him playing the way he did and just taking carries and bouncing across the field and playing straight, popping off loads. It seemed to get cheese going forward. It even brought back a little bit of the soul of Luke Keary, like of old for me. Luke Keary was read and reacting off play the balls, getting upfield, putting guys into space, playing early. Like it just seemed a very, very different Roosters team playing the way they did the other night. And Angus Crichton as well has been a real positive the last couple of weeks, and it's good to see him get back to his best after, a bit of a rough trot last year.
Yeah, he's definitely playing some good footy, isn't he, Angus Crichton? Obviously had his issues, but yeah, it's good to see him back getting near to that form that saw him be such a dominant player for, a long stretch.
Yeah, big positive as well. I think the swap to have Suwali on a wing with Tupou and Manu, you talk about the back three being so important. They almost had 800 meters between the three of them. It was incredible.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So I don't know if they go that way moving forward, but yeah, I know Manu likely bounces back into the centres. Some have argued that if he played on the wing, you'd be able to float him around a little bit more and let him play from the back with less restriction. But full stop, they have to find more ways to get him involved. But Cheese, good to see him slowly pick up his form. I think Radley's also had a really good start to the year, and the Roosters would be happy. The fact that they may lose Manu, and I know Suwali's going too, but getting Terrell May to agree to 2 more years, he had another fantastic game the other night as well.
Yeah, he did.
Newcastle, I guess, tough place to be now. A couple of close losses. They only just scraped home against Melbourne. They've made multiple changes to spine positions. You've got Ponga named this week, but carrying that issue, that's going to be something to watch, obviously. But I think the Hastings move to get him out was a mistake at the start. I think he's definitely in their best pairing. Ponga, when he got the jab or whatever he had at halftime there to get him going again, certainly made an imprint on the game, gave him a chance to win at the back end. I thought Best looked good when he got the ball, but probably didn't see it enough. And the real one who's jumped out for me, I didn't know if it would happen year one. I thought he'd sort of be in and out, but KPP, oh, Paul Pierce or Pierce Paul, I always bloody mix up which one it is. He's come on in leaps and bounds in only a few weeks playing on that edge for the Newcastle Knights.
Yeah, 100%. He's
So,
looks damaging ball runner,
big long
he?
frame, decent speed, good bit of skill about him. But yeah, between him and Price, I thought it might have been a bit more of a year project or adjusting or where they fit into the mix. But yeah, after Lucas got a knock week one and he got that opportunity, he hasn't let go of it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But I guess the thing for them now is we're 6 weeks in, some tough losses, some good opposition. They really need to get the skates on in the next few weeks because Origin time, I know it's no guarantee, but there's likely a few guys there that are in contention. I don't know if Ponga finds a role as a utility or they've had some outside back injuries if they try to shuffle him in there somewhere else. Best will probably be in the mix again. I don't think the Saifidis are playing well enough, but we don't know what direction Matt is looking to go. So for Newcastle, it's never ideal when you're in the position they're in at the moment.
No, it's not. You're
The Roosters continue at times to be their own worst enemy, as they were in the first 15. But when you see their best football, they're honestly capable of anything on their day. It's just been a bit of a yo-yo so far this year. But we'll move on from that one. Storm Dogs, honestly, I thought the Dogs should have won this one. This is another one with Melbourne, like the Broncos game, the Warriors game, where across the full 80, I don't think they were the better team. But the quality finds a way to win a game in, the dying moments again, to be where they are with the record they have so far after starting with that defensive performance against Penrith. It certainly hasn't been a smooth ride so far, but they're finding ways to win football games.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They certainly haven't played fantastic footy, but there's a little bit in that they can find a way to win, that's for sure. I think it's probably just during those periods where they're not great, they don't concede a stack of points, and they just rely heavily on their defence. And their defence, probably apart from that Broncos game, has been really, really solid. They haven't leaked a lot of points, so winning's been accessible to them because they haven't conceded a lot of points when the other team has had that. glut of possession.
Yeah, and I think the other night maybe would say something for teams to aim for, but the Dogs certainly found some love going down that left-hand side. I thought Brisbane got a few opportunities there as well in the early shift, but whether that's a structural thing or just a bit of trust, I think Warbrick maybe the last 2 weeks has been caught out a couple of times with his decision making. But certainly think the Dogs can't take anything away from what they accomplished here again. I thought it was another game where they're up to it in their eyeballs. They were missing a lot of players. Four or five were out. They had another one pull out before kickoff. They debuted Bailey Haywood. They've had Katonga the last few weeks. They've had a lot of change. But looking at that forward pack pre-game, I thought, this is one for Melbourne to probably try and drop the hammer. But to be honest, I thought they did a pretty good job on Melbourne in that regard and probably had the better of field position and football. And like I said, it took a moment again for Melbourne where they finally sort of straightened up and rolled up fields, and Hughes and Harry Pappenhausen and all sort of combined there to get a bit of a roll on, with Munster finishing it off with that pass to Bloor. But that left-hand side, things are coming together nicely. I think Burton certainly getting some confidence back playing with Kikau and having quality weapons. And that back line the other night to me is the probably the five they should have started with. I like Blake Taff, but I think with the lack of size in their forward pack, you probably need the bodies that they had there the other night. They've got speed, they've got power, they help in yardage. Sherry looks a real good addition after a few weeks, but having him and Crichton, Carraz, I just prefer on the wing working. He ran for 300. Fox is probably, the one who's not the biggest out of that, but he does enough with his yardage and obviously the quality of finish. But yeah, I think that back five with Dracy playing at one, moving forward, unfortunately, I think Taff's probably better served for them either as a 14 or maybe give them a crack at the halves if they're not happy with Hutchison. Yeah, I think a lot of positives there if you're a Dogs fan. I know it's still been tough results wise, but there's some real good
Yeah, they
signs.
threw the kitchen sink at that game, that's for sure.
What's that, buddy?
They threw the kitchen sink at that game.
And to think again, like I said, the amount of change during the week, certainly don't think many people saw that coming. But Kikau, next World League form recently, he's just unstoppable. Get him early ball, one-on-ones, bringing in bodies, drawing pass. Like he's looking after a rough year last year and injury wise back to the form he was in at Penrith. So if he maintains that sort of track, that left hand side is going to continue to be a hell of a danger. So think some good signs for them. Curran's proved to be a quality buy as well. Just gets through a lot of work and sort of goes along unnoticed. But for Melbourne, certainly still a lot to clean up. Lack of probably punch in the middle. They lose Tui early. Tepai's injured, so this week a couple of changes. Nelson's going to be back in the mix for his first game. He's certainly going to be needed against that Roosters team. But yeah, still got some kinks certainly to iron out with that spine. Munster second game. Hughes played the first couple, then missed a couple. Papp still building his way back in. But yeah, certainly not pretty. But more importantly, they're putting W's on the board.
Exactly.
Broncos, Dolphins, this one, real rough, real, real rough. I guess early on, Broncos probably had the better of things. They had pressure, they had possession. And then against the run of play, that Wallace try sort of wasn't what I was expecting with the way Brisbane were going. But yeah, they were probably shooting themselves in the foot with errors. Walsh was pretty loose. Oates dropped a couple. But for the Dolphins, already coming in undermanned without Flegler, Farnworth, when they lost Hammer on that runaway chase, Felice wasn't playing either. Milford comes on. That play hitting Walsh off the ball was just silly. And yeah, it's sort of just flattened out as they went. I think Brisbane, once they controlled things a little bit, really come home with a bit of a wet sail in the second half and was certainly not a pretty game by any means. It was 33 errors total. But Brisbane's individual class proves the difference in the end. Cobbo comes up with a few nice moments. Walsh had some quality moments. Pat Carrigan, I think, deserves a huge rap for the way he's carried himself, losing Flegler and playing with that Haas. Like he was Herculean again in terms of effort, and seeing Willison play the way he did. I'm still trying to wrap my head around how he wasn't on the bench to start with for the start of the year, but he has to be in that 17.
He's big, gangly, dangerous, offload, strong carry. Like, he's just a really difficult body to tackle and contain, isn't he?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, when you lose a Palaszczuk, you lose a Flegler, they lost sort of points of difference, and they're both guys that slightly different, but they've definitely got leg speed or a bit of footwork. He's another one in that sort of mold where, you know, he brings a point of difference. He's got footwork, he's got a
Yeah.
pass. If he really needed
He's
to,
athletic.
we're talking about that back row option. I know he's probably more a middle in the next few years, but when they got stuck a few weeks ago, that Pierre Kuehr, I think Willison's still young enough and agile enough to cover that role if you had to.
Yeah.
But yeah, looking at the shape of him, and then like Big Ben Takura the other week, when they've got Pierre Kuehr back in with Riki, Haas, Pat Carrigan, and you've sort of got your minutes sorted there and everything's fit and fire. And I still think between, you know, a Jensen or a Fletcher Baker or whatnot, like Willison out and out is the first forward I'm picking on that bench.
Yeah.
So I think he's made a statement after missing the first few weeks. But for Brisbane, similar deal. It wasn't pretty by any means, but the quality shines through. Walsh back in, obviously good for them, but they've still got Reynolds, Haas, Pierre Kuehr all to come in the next few weeks. Mariner, a couple more weeks away, but yeah, I think their depth has certainly been tested early on this year on top of the losses they've had. But I guess an even record at this point for them. I wouldn't say they'd be happy, but given the circumstances, I think they'd be okay with where they are.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right.
But for
The
the Dolphins,
Dolphins, like in that period, they had a lot of good ball early and just didn't generate enough points, put enough points on the board. When Brisbane had even half a chance, they were taking advantage of it. So that was probably the difference in the game. I think, you know, when they had that period of possession, they couldn't get the scoreboard ticking, whereas Brisbane did.
yeah, and you look at the Dolphins, that same problem as last year. I think obviously they made some good buys and built up a little bit more depth this year, but you know, they're talking about Cody Nicorima. I think he's been named, but they've got worries about his calf. Flegler, Felice, Herbie to lose the hammer now for a month on top of it. Milford gets suspended. I don't quite know what the workaround is yet, lineup wise, but certainly depth being tested, and I know Plath and a few others that were suspended will become available. But yeah, when you're missing that top end quality already on top of somebody like Gilbert who gets injured in the trials, it's getting to that point a bit earlier than last year for them where their depth is really getting pushed.
Yeah.
So Parramatta this week, they've got Trey Fuller playing his second ever NRL game at fullback. I thought they might have gone for Averillo at one and maybe brought Val Tavari in. He's in the extended squad, so it's a possibility. They got Plath back in this week from suspension. So Sullivan's on the bench. They've got Nicorima named for now. So sort of leads you to think, you know, if they're going to put Sullivan on the bench, that they're either going to cover for that non-negotiable or he might end up being a late inclusion and a bit of a reshuffle there.
Yeah.
But I guess for them, you know, you've got to bunker down the next few weeks and still haven't really said yet the extent of Herbie and how long they thought Flegler was maybe, you know, another week away. But yeah, they're obviously huge outs for the time being, along with Felice. So it's going to be interesting to see where they are come Origin time. If Hammond misses a month and goes straight back into camp, could be a critical period for their season again.
Yeah, it's true.
But moving on from that one, Warriors Manly. I mean, Timmy was saying last week this was probably going to be the game of the round, and I think it turned out to be the game of the round. The start definitely wasn't what I was expecting. Manly sort of pulled away and had the best of the first half, and the Warriors didn't really look like much was good cooking attack-wise, and the crowd started off with so much noise is what they always do, and things flattened out a little bit. Manly popped them a few times on that left-hand edge, just got him in a variety of ways. Obviously, the first one, just Waddell probably should pass that ball a bit earlier, but it still ends up with a try with some offloads. Talau, when they get him on the early shift there, sums things up nicely with a kick. And then Brooks, really nice bit of play when they run that short side and that double pump to create the 3-on-2. But with 10 left, the Warriors show what we, again, have not associated with them in the past until last year. And it's certainly carried into this year is patience and resilience. And they find two critical tries at the back end of the half. First, the Tavunga one when they're online and a little bit frustrated trying to play with inside 10, hits that nice hole off Tohu. They just got such good variation off 13, 7, 6, like just the way they create and the deception they show. But that was a really nice play. And then Chance has that mini brain snap with a minute to go with a chip and chase, and Brooks has an even bigger one trying to throw a cutout pass with 30 seconds to go for Dallin to take him in at 16-10.
Yeah, it was really a game, like again, a game where possession sort of dictated points, really, and one that Manly, probably should have iced. Like, if you're up by 8 with a minute to go, you'd expect to be winning them. But to the Warriors' credit, they hung around and hung around and hung around. I felt like they were a little bit impatient, the Warriors, whereas I felt like Manly were. They built pressure and were, their kicking game I thought was really, really good. And then they used their speed and their movement on the edges. Yeah, one that the Warriors will probably wipe the brow and say, thank God we got away with one, where, Manly probably feel as though they left one out there, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think Manly would probably feel similar to what they did from the Para game, in my opinion. I know it's not a loss, but I think it would feel like a loss.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a lesson. I don't know whether it will feel like a loss, but it's certainly a lesson. They're probably, yeah, they definitely didn't throw the Para game away. It just shows you that momentum is such a big thing at the moment. You see these games, like, teams can lead by, we led by 16 on the weekend and got run down, we led by 16 and then the Doggies scored 26 straight points, and we scored the last. The last try, and had opportunities to score at the end of the game. So that the way that the rules are, it allows teams to get real streaky because the way that they, or how fast the game is increases fatigue, or fatigue is induced a lot quicker. So therefore, there's a lot more opportunity to score points. And then these two sides are. Certainly, they're point scoring teams. They're teams that are gonna they aren't gonna have trouble running up the scoreboard. So it was a really, really good game. Like what you guys said in the preview last week, it was spot on. Like it was always going to be exciting because it's a clash of, very similar styles, very similar physiques. Like they've both got big, strong, fast outside backs. They've got big dynamic middles, experienced halves with good kicking games, crafty hookers. So yeah, it was a good game to watch.
I think, well, that was on full display, no doubt about it. But yeah, when they got that early try to Burbo and DC goes play five, and they just sort of get Roger, and I think it was Tamari, sort of split at 22-10. Still plenty of time left, but thought maybe from there, like you said, if you're Manly, you want to drive that home. But bit of an arm wrestle. The Warriors, Barnett's been in fantastic form. Nice offload, and Sean Johnson winding back the clock. Haven't seen him more so running like that or being in that regard like the last few years. He's obviously turned into more that ball player at the back end of his career, a bit more like a Benji or someone did where they sort of changed their game up. But it was nice to see him in full flight and using those feet again. But yeah, with 8 minutes, 8 points and a minute and a half left, concede that try, the offload from Johnson again in the one-on-one was an absolute pearler to get that ball out to Dallin. And that penalty, I don't want to spend time on it because no one's going to agree, but at the end of the day, it's hard now with kick pressures, and we've talked about this before. You
Well, what's the rule?
basically,
What's the rule?
well, you can't make contact with the legs, we know that.
Did he make contact with the leg?
You did,
So simple. It's a
yeah,
penalty. Don't
but
make contact with the leg. I don't know why he was going to make contact with the leg there. Just like provide pressure, but you don't need to make contact with the leg. And he would know that. And we can talk as much as we want about, well, this, this. The contact was minimal, and how the game used to be played. The fact of the matter is that they protect
the kicker.
kickers, and he was in the motion of kicking. Was it the worst attack of the leg I've ever seen? No, definitely not. Definitely not. But you put the referee in a position where he needs to make a call, then he's got to make the call. Don't put him in a position where he needs to make it. Simple as that.
Yeah. And I agree. Like, I've seen a lot of argument this week. Oh, it's just because of Ilias and what? Well, it's not. But a week after that, like, I think the last thing anyone would want to do is have anything close to that. Full stop. Obviously, the result not even close, and the impact maybe not so, but we know now, as we've said, you want to be in the vicinity or you want to get in front of the ball. But in terms of contact, especially with a plant leg on a field goal as opposed to a general play kick, we generally want to wrap and catch or keep them upright. But in that situation, just get in the line or go across the front or provide general pressure.
Yeah, well, different teams have got different philosophies on how they implement kick pressure, but no coach in the NRL is telling players to attack the leg or put pressure on the leg,
Yeah.
and that's why the rule's there. So, yeah, it's just one of those unfortunate things. I personally, it's one of those ones where, yeah, you want to see pressure, but the probability. From 40, what was it, 40 out, is that,
Oh,
in wet
45,
conditions, it's going to be a difficult field goal to make. So,
yeah, general pressure.
if he's good enough to make it, then, you probably go to Golden Point. You'd certainly take the probability for him hitting or missing by not making contact with the leg, as opposed to, making contact with the leg and then giving him a fairly easy 2-point conversion.
And I think that's the bigger
Particularly when
point
it's
as
a
well.
2-point field goal. When it's a 1-point field goal, and if the
Yeah.
game's on the line, obviously you've got to get the pressure
Got to get
there.
the pressure.
Yeah. But this was a situation where they were still ahead. It wasn't a tight game.
No.
And you'd much rather say, well, kick a field goal from there than, risk the penalty and having kicking a 2-point conversion.
Yeah, and that was
Anyway,
sort
it's a
of my.
pointless argument because the reality is it was a penalty.
Yeah,
So
on the NRL, also on
people
top.
are arguing against it. They're either Manly fans or they don't know the rules.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to go an argument or what people think about it, they've also suspended him. So they've proven the point
Oh,
again.
yeah. See, and that's where I disagree. I don't think it should have been a suspension, but
No, but I guess.
I think we suspend players too easily,
Yeah, I still find it very
particularly with how
inconsistent.
many injuries we have in the game, and then we're trying to rub players out. Like, I agree, if it's like deliberate foul play, then, hit him with the book. But for things like that wasn't, Aloye didn't have any intent or malice in that.
No.
It was a mistake. It was a mistake which deserved to be penalised. It's not a mistake, I think, which deserved to be suspended.
No, and that the fact they went to grade two, I think, was a bit over the top.
Grade two, yeah, wow.
Grade two dangerous contact. Like, let's be honest as well. He sold it a bit more when he went down. I don't think you need to sell it at all.
It's probably also a little bit reactionary, like it's not good
Definitely.
timing in relation to the Ilias one as well.
But I still
They were
find.
completely different. They weren't anything alike, like the
No.
Ilias one and
No.
the Aloye one.
But like
And
I
like,
look at that.
did Johnson play it up? Of course Johnson played it up.
Yeah.
Like 100% he did.
Trying to win the game of football. Players will do anything they can to get that
Yeah.
opportunity. But
Yeah.
yeah, I still find charges similar to you at times hard to comprehend because Clemmer got done twice on the weekend. He just copped two grade ones for careless high. And then you see other weeks, Luai round one. KO'd Simonson got nothing, then you've seen other guys go to the bin. It's one of those ones again where I know it's never perfect, but it still frustrates people.
Stop getting frustrated. Just know the rules.
But the Golden Point was interesting. Both of these teams pretty much managed the field position, and I think we're pretty smart about it, to be honest. If you weren't in range, I think that's probably my biggest mock on. The seven tackle set, it deters you from trying to take a crack at field goal if you're in range, because if you do, you're going to get punished essentially.
Are you going to start me on seven tackle sets?
I'm not going to because we've done it multiple times, but
Don't start me on seven tackle sets, mate.
in Golden Point in particular, you're almost discouraging someone from taking a shot if you are borderline range because you're going to get punished and give up field position.
It's just I just dislike the rule. Full stop. Irrespective of Golden Point, normal play.
Well, it discourages attacking kicks as well. I hate that. Should be having a contest without
Yeah,
fear of, a simple touch in the in goal turns into a seven tackle set from a knock on. That's crock shit.
just my opinion. I really dislike them.
But the best opportunity was for the Warriors. Tobe Harris unfortunately dropped the ball. They were going to have a crack from 25 out. Second shot was 30 metres, and Johnson had enough time to execute, but it went wide. But yeah, other than that, it was pretty much a non-contest. They traded kicks and field position. And I think, again, Warriors more than Manly would be happy to get out with a point. But at the same time, for Manly, it was certainly better than a loss. But great game of football and two teams that look like they're going to play finals.
Yeah, they all exactly. They certainly do. Both teams in really, really good form. And look, I think the key for both teams is keeping those key position players on the field, right?
Yeah, I had a bit of a moment
Manly
at the end.
really need to keep, Brooks, Cherry Evans, Croker, and Turbo together because that is one of the best spines in the NRL, no doubt about it. And the Warriors aren't too dissimilar. Like the form that Wade Egan's in, and
Exceptional.
then you throw him in with they've got fantastic halves depth around Sean Johnson, and then the job that Chance and Roger Tuivasa-Sheck are doing, sort of that hybrid role at the back.
Chance has
They're
been
both
incredible
trying
these first 2 weeks.
pardon?
Chance has been incredible the first 2 weeks. Come
He's been great, yeah.
off
Really
with a hamstring. I
good.
thought, I think he was going to start slow, but he's pumped out two huge games, like output, effort around the ball. He has not missed a beat, even more
Yeah.
so than what I expected from the injury he had.
It's also a bit of competition for spots, like
Oh.
having someone there nipping at your heels, like Roger went in and did a great job while Chance was out. So,
But
yeah,
the
good,
quality.
really good depth to have.
Oh, even Pompey last year was fantastic for him. He hasn't been playing at all. And it's not because, he's not up to scratch, but you get Roger back in, you've still got Chance at the back.
Yeah.
Berry's a quality young player, and then we've seen the young guys that we know that are coming. Sipakula, Laban's got a few games recently, Laiatau's got a couple of games. Mau obviously got suspended in the trials, but they've just got a real rich group there at the moment, along with some good depth and some good contracts. And I guess the real outlier is the Finola Blake situation, who'll be moving on. But in almost every other position, they've got depth and they've got, players there that are going to be there for a couple more years. So they're in a really
Right.
good spot.
Yep.
But yeah, standouts out of this, I thought there was lots of good players, but Chance in the back five as a whole were pretty fantastic. Johnson, but the three forwards every week, honestly, I don't think you could have a better trio of workers and points of difference in your pack. Like Tohu's great. Adden's just, a next worldly prop, but I've been banging on for years how much I love Mitch Barnett. I think the fact that he's been in a winning team now and a consistent team for 2 seasons has brought even more so the best out of him. And he's as mad as a cut snake. I think he's right up Madge Maguire's alley for Origin. I'm not saying he's in, and everyone's starting to talk about him as a smoky. I don't know if his form would call him a smoky, but I think he cuts the sort of jib of, what Madge Maguire looks for in a footballer.
Yeah, we'll see. I can't
So,
believe we're talking about Origin
oh,
already.
just looking at a couple of guys that are playing. But yeah, I think him and Egan are two that are certainly putting their hands up and Penner on the way. You want to pick that team. But for Manly, Toth, I think, and a couple of guys did a good job off the bench. Paseka was great again. Cherry, just he loves playing in New Zealand. I remember him kicking a left foot field goal and then a right foot field goal 1 year. They've had a really good successful time every time they've sort of gone there. So he had another good day. And probably what you said about Tommy sort of struck me when Dallin got that intercept. I thought he had a chance to chase him down and run, but obviously with the hamstrings and the way things are, sort of probably picks his moments a little bit at the moment. So I'm not saying he's not 100%, but obviously off the back of, injuries and past moments like that, that moment sort of interested me a little bit. But
Yeah.
unfortunately for the Trbojevic's and hamstrings, Ben, who was covering in the centres, they get Garrick back this week. Luckily, he's tore his hamstring, so not sure how many weeks he's going to miss, but that's probably the
Oh,
end
he
of it.
tore it, did he?
I think, yeah, maybe a hemi tear. He had an issue there. I've got to check the lineups again, but I'm pretty sure he's out. Ben Trbojevic is out. They got Lodgy back from an ACL. He's coming straight back into the NRL. Garrick and Saab back in. Nathan Brown back in. They lost Ben to a hemi and Toth did a knee.
Off did what like a serious knee?
Oh, I don't know. It just says knee and hamstring.
Yeah.
So I don't know what extent, but.
They got good depth, like Manly got very good depth.
Oh, yeah. Forward-wise, it's pretty handy to get back. I know, they'll probably have lower his minutes this week, Lodgy, coming straight off an ACL. But
Yeah.
you're talking, is it eight? Was it August when he did that? So 8 months.
Yeah, it was. It was like around 24, around 25, somewhere around then.
Yeah, so it's about now with good recovery. Some guys push for just after 7, 8 is pretty good time. So I'm sure they've gone above and beyond if they're going to throw him straight back in, but they've got Trbojevic listed here as round 10 with his hamstring at the moment. So, yeah, that's 4 week injury.
Yeah, okay.
So for now, Garrick obviously is back this week. That covers and Saab back in. So a bit more strength into that back line. But yeah, I think both teams coming out of that one, especially the Warriors, would be very happy with the way that played out. They also lost someone with a hamstring. It was Jazz Dabunga, who come on and had a huge impact, but 9 minutes and blew his hamstring. So not good for him, but that's a few now they've sort of had in that dynamic bench role. They had Walker, who they're not sure how long he's going to be. Sifakula, sorry, not Sifakula, Morata come back for one game, did his foot. He's out to 14. Sifakula's out for the season. Lustig suspended to around 10. So they had three or four guys sort of play that cover role. Getting a bit thinner there at the moment, but still good depth across the board in most other positions.
Yeah.
But we move on from that one. Eels Cowboys, this was a very loose game, pretty much a shootout. The Cowboys, I'm getting frustrated with because they can attack anybody from anywhere on the field. They'll take multiple shots in a set. They can get from tram line to tram line, like 20 to 20. Their halves link. Drinkwater's a great indicator of their attack. Like, dynamic back rollers, good outside backs, big bodies. Quick, so you could say as much as you want about a tackle. I can see the Maloney fingerprints. I can see the positivity there, but defensively, they have zero resilience on goal line. Like it's not even just missed tackles in general; it's ineffective tackles. They can't do back-to-back sets. They have just some real poor moments in that regard. And probably the other thing is their back five, as dynamic as they can be at times, they make way too many errors and put pressure on their forward pack.
Yeah, well, I think that's something that they'll improve as the year goes on. So while it's an issue now, you'd hope that it'll improve gradually as the year progresses and you build combinations and you work really hard on your defensive system. So yeah, they're certainly not going to have issues scoring points and
No.
running up the scoreboard. I guess probably the key for them will also be possession. Like the more possession that they've got, the more fatigue they're going to put oppositions under because they are so talented and they are, extremely fatiguing team to have to defend. So if they can get more than 50% of the footy, that is obviously going to take pressure off their defense as well. So it's a bit of a balancing act, just trying to get more possession, which will actually offset the pressure that, is placed on your defense. I think they'll get themselves into trouble like they did on the weekend where they're doing long periods of defense and that'll then constrict their attack because they'll be more fatigued. Like I think they're certainly a downhill team, the Cowboys. They want the field tilted in regards to possession, so they've got more energy to come really hard at you.
Yeah, and I think also just the way their middle is constructed at the moment, they're pretty dynamic, I think, everywhere else across the park. But, like Taumalolo, they've been talking about dealing with that knee. I think McLean's actually had a pretty good start to the year, but again, he's not the most mobile at this point. But
He's been playing excellent footy.
he has been, I think, really surprised me this year how good he's been. But other than that, yeah, they're a bit small with their middle. Like Neame's are more mobile, compact type, and Cotter, etc. So that's probably the part where I think they get in trouble, like you're saying. They give up possession, they put pressure on their middle. Your middle starts to tighten up, your edges get open. But yeah, reflected in the numbers again.
Like that's every team, right? Like that's footy in general, but it's probably exaggerated by the Cowboys, just with the way they like to play.
Well, they like to play, yeah. But I guess the errors is one thing if you can back them up. But just, yeah, sometimes it's simple stuff in their back five and it's just probably overloading their middle a little bit too much. But it's misses were similar between those two, 33, 39, but it was the ineffectives. Eels only had four ineffective. The Cowboys had 23. So adding on that, like attack-wise, seven line breaks to four. They opened them up plenty of times. They probably left some points on the table. But for the flip of that, I thought Parramatta similarly left some points on the table, but looked better this week. RC coming in took a bit of responsibility in terms of kicking and helping get around the park. Thought he contributed well. Brown went back to probably being more his natural self, focused on running. Gutherson's obviously been trying his backside off to help in that regard, but no surprise again, had a massive game on the weekend. But Yeah, I think there were some positives to take out of this for them to stem the flow after the close loss to the Tigers and then obviously get blown out by Canberra and, icing it when it mattered at the end, kicking that field goal to give themselves the breathing room. And it was, yeah, real back and forth. There's no surprise that the Cowboys targeted Harper and Arcy for the majority of what they were trying to do with their attack, but Parramatta on the flip. There's just some moments, like I talked about, with that resilience where Dylan Brown's grubber, where Harper scores off, like there's no cowboy within cooee of that. That should have been cleaned up. Nenai pretty much got a free run to grab that football. Just, yeah, stuff like that. And goal line, the Dylan offload for Penisini and Joey crashes over. That's play five. Like you got to scramble a bit harder. So if their defense ever matches up with their offense, the Cowboys, they'll be a genuine threat. But just going off so far, like they've beaten teams that I'd probably think are outside the eight, but the two teams they've played that are probably looking more like finals teams, they haven't had success against them. So,
Yeah, that's fair enough. Well, that's going to be the challenge for him, as I said.
It's funny though, isn't it? Because that when they ran on that run a couple of years ago, they were the best in all the defensive numbers. They were a good attacking team as well, don't get me wrong. But they were
Yeah.
just relentless defensively, like line speed, kick pressure, like play 1-2, all the small things that they're not really doing now, and they had that resilience. But it's sort of over the last 2 years been more attack driven, and especially this year, but that sort of effort that was there year one of that new regime and in the group, it just, I don't know, it's not quite there.
No, it's not.
But yeah, Parra will be happy, we said, to stem the flow there. Arcy looks like he's going to keep that role for now. They've said they're going to bring Talangi back in this week on the bench to cover a couple of positions. So interested to see how they implement him. I sort of thought maybe when Arcy came in, they would have stuck him out left centre where he played the first week. But yeah, a couple of guys stood up. It was good to get Cardi back in. He still looked a little bit underdone with that rib. But Paulo, Campbell Gillard, I think Hopgood, with a few injuries for the Queenslanders, has certainly got himself in that sort of frame. He's had a good start of the year as well. But Cowboys, like you said, McLean, Drinkwater, really, really good in attack. A few things defensively still to work on. And yeah, they're still 4-2, but yeah, it's more once those two things sort of meet in the middle, I'll be interested to see more how they go against top eight sides. But so far, hasn't been the greatest. Sharky Souths, tough one given the week, all the noise. Obviously, we all know the story of what was going on, but it couldn't have started any worse in regards to in-game injury. Tevita Totola only lasts 14 minutes. Leg injury, Munro's missed the time of the collarbone, cracks it again. And then right on half time, off the back of probably fighting really hard in this game and having good possession, good field position, forcing dropouts and not really been able to bank much points. Cam Murray goes off at half time and fails his HIA. So between that and Gray going for a HIA, they'd literally had their whole bench cleaned out at one point.
Yeah. I thought their effort was really, really good. They got into a position with their bench, which is almost untenable in the modern game. Like it makes it not impossible to win, but it certainly puts you up, with your back against the wall, that's for sure. You need a lot to go your way. You need a lot of possession. And as I said before, particularly once you can't roll your middles over. And then when you're putting players and pushing players into different positions and playing them out of positions and for long stretches of time against a good team. The Sharks are a good team. And they're a gritty team and they're not a team that's just going to let you off the hook. So, yeah, I thought Souths were really, really good. That's almost as good as I've seen them play all year. I thought they were pretty good for the first sort of 60 minutes in Vegas, but I think this was their best performance of the year, I think.
And I'd agree. And I think, Gray for, a first timer, real good effort for him, come up with some good moments. I think Hawkins, it's been a few weeks now and there's plenty of noise and pressure, but multiple dropouts, had a hand in a try and kicked a lot better. So I thought it was his best game sort of in grade. And they surged late. They had a red hot crack. Tommy Burgess particularly come on and made a hell of an impact in a few moments. And Cody found a nice pass and there was, early on a couple of moments from some other guys severely. But yeah, I think for Cronulla, it's pretty much what you said. They're just gritty. They haven't been winning pretty, but I think we've seen a bit more of that defensive side come in this year, which Fitzgibbon would have wanted to base things off a few years back. Their back five, I've said this before, but I think when we talk about wing combinations or back fives and, meters, that they're right up there in terms of, one of the best back fives in that regard in the comp. They get going. Having Eero in the mix now and finding Sipa probably more on that utility impact sort of role off the bench for them might be the way forward. But between like Bulatalo, Katoa, like I think when you go head to head wing pairings in the competition, they're right up there. There's not many better. Meterage, yardage, tackle breaks, and finishing. Like Mully was just on another planet the other night in terms of aerial contest. Like Katoa probably didn't get as much praise. He broke 14 tackles the other night. Those two really good base. Ramian chips in there. But yeah, I think Euro's probably brought a little bit more X factor in terms of what you get from center. And if they can find a way to implement Sipa off the bench, they got Rudolph back. I think Ueli's been named this week with Williams. I think that gives them a really, really good variety on their bench to probably make up for the fact that they're not the biggest team. But plenty of leg speed, plenty of impact, plenty of footwork. If they lean into that sort of strength of what, he's been looking for this year with McInnes and their fantastic back rows. You've got unsung guys like Brake Bailey who are pretty much a 7 out of 10 every week. Things are building nicely for the Sharks.
They are, no, I like the Sharks roster. I like the way that they play, and I like the way that they're coached.
And I think Nico and Trindle have come together nicely. I think it's taken a bit of pressure off Nico. Trindle's adding some classy
He's a
moments.
very good player.
What's that? Sorry, mate.
He's a very good player, Trindle. He's only going
Quality.
to get better.
And yeah, I think that sort of dynamic is helping Nico out that, he doesn't need to have so many touches and jump here and jump there and overplay his hand. That left-hand side's well under control with him now being out there. Mulitalo, Teague Wilton's had a big impact his first few weeks back. Nicker has just come back in. So yeah, they just keep chipping away. But what they get from their back five to start things off certainly helps out with the dynamic of their forward pack, but yeah, I'm sure they'd be maybe a little bit disappointed with the points they leaked when they got out to a decent lead. But on the flip of that, Souths at one point there had 32 tackles to 6 inside 20, and then they were behind 22 to 6 or that one point. So Sharks did considerably well, I think, to defend their goal line.
They did, yeah, I agree.
So all the talk around things now suddenly, he's safe for the time being. I've had inboxes messages. Like, who knows? Last week it was going to be Mal Meninga. He was gone. Now he's safe. Like, who bloody knows? I don't want to talk
Being
about
hype.
it.
That's the part of Sydney that I don't miss.
And again, it was a guarantee. It wasn't this, it was that. It's, Pappas said this, Solly said that. It's Russell, the boy. Like, who bloody knows? But all I can say if I'm a South fan is, the most important thing is you saw effort. You saw what you wanted to see. In terms of that, they've got the buy. I'm sure they'll be looking at all things in regards to how they move forward again and build on that. The draw, is it pretty? No, it's not ideal to come into Penrith and the Storm in the next couple. People are saying, oh, we're wasting time. Right. It's like, well, you don't know. You just
Well,
don't
it's
know.
also not a bad time to play Penrith if Nathan Cleary's out.
Yeah, well, if they get them, I think
Look, I know
Storm.
they're saying that he might be back, but if he's out, like you'd much rather play him when he's not there.
Yeah, round nine, still potentially not there. And yeah, Melbourne on Anzac Day, round eight. So I'm sure they'll get up for that. That's a massive occasion. And now they're back on
Melbourne
Anzac
on Anzac Day. So Melbourne aren't playing the Warriors on Anzac Day this year.
No, they're playing the Gold Coast in New Zealand, the Warriors. That was agreed to this year. So new
Oh,
tradition.
okay, they did that a few years ago when they did the 4 or 5 games in the
Used to
one
be
day.
Brisbane Souths up in Brisbane.
Yeah, it did.
And then Storm Warriors and then the Dragons game. But yeah, I think the Warriors have been saying the last few years or pre-COVID why they never got the game over there. So they've got their own game
Okay.
now for Anzac Day. Storm are going to play Souths and we'll have the traditional clash as well of Dragons Roosters.
Yeah.
So big day this year. But yeah, I think some positives.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I know it's hard to see, but Jai, Hawkins, I think Mamazoulas actually played really well as well. Good around the ruck, sharp, defends above his size, but... yeah, good to see some life out of a few guys as well. I think Jack certainly tried his backside off, coming into a tough situation. But yeah, for the Sharks, Mulitalo, Cam McInnes is just an absolute weapon. That bloke, he just makes me tired watching him play. But their back five, Nico, et cetera, it was another solid night's work for the Sharks. But moving on from then, Dragons, Tigers, I think Benji pretty much summed this up with, you know, week to week and how they're going to play. He thought that that was their worst effort and sort of spoke to the fact that, you know.
Yeah, you'll have to forgive me for this one. I didn't see this. This is when we were playing and then NRL after it. So,
yeah, it's just.
Heard they were very disappointing. Heard there was a massive crowd and heard that Zach Max had a barnstormer. That's about all I heard.
He did have a barnstormer. I know he doesn't lock the wing and he's already going to Parramatta, but I'll tell you what, if he doesn't lock the wing, he's another one who's certainly throwing himself in the frame for a rep jersey the way he's playing. So don't know how he's feeling about it, but Flanagan certainly had a big cheesy grin at the end of the game when he talked about it. Said he goes pretty good on the wing, doesn't he? Proving a bit of a point to him, I think, that it's doesn't like this stigma around, I'm a centre, I'm a fullback, or not wanting to be a winger. Like, I think the wing's more important than a centre these days.
Yeah.
Like, there's certain aspects of the game where it shifted that way. I don't
think. Well, they're both as important as each other. Mm. But provided you've got good ones, you know.
I think for what he is for me, though, body wise, aerial contests, touching the football, yardage, like I think wing, you know, I wouldn't say he's got express speed. He's got good hands and he's got a bit of an offload as a centre, sure, but in terms of his traits, I think he fits both positions well. But for what they look at for wingers now in particular, I think he suits the wing to a T.
Yeah.
A huge body. He pulled the ball out of the air twice over the top of Dream Buller, who's not a small bloke. He won a couple of those contests. He kicks goals. He's effective in yardage. He offloads in contact multiple times. Like, everything he's been doing with the extra touches has contributed to his football team, whereas in the centres, he'd get lost. He doesn't find as much yardage. He sort of just held his edge. So whether he's got a point to prove this week because he's been named in the centres because of Bird's HIA that he can contribute there, or like, is Flanagan just lit the fire under him, or is wing his best spot? I don't know, but it's been agreed today that he's going to Para for the next 3 or 4 years and will be playing in the centre. So it's all fish and chip paper right now. But if you're Flanagan and what you've done and the point you were trying to prove about what football you could be, the proof's in the pudding so far.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
But no, they were pretty good. They've been obviously up and down. But offloads are the big point of difference here. They busted the Tigers up a few times just with some good ball playing, slowing early. First set, they created a number straight away with his speed and put Lomax over in the corner. Tigers had a few periods of like good pressure. Arpy, being the magician, is come up with an absolute perler of a sell for a short ball for Stefano. The touches as well, if you haven't seen it, had an absolute Barry. Arpy's hit the post and it went across the face. They both put their flags up. Then one of them looked at the other one, put his flag down, and they had to review it with a bunker.
The other one up, one down.
They both went up, and then the other guy looked at him and put it down, and then the bunker had to review it. So it was pretty odd, and that was early in the piece. But no, they got going after that, the Sharkies, and the Dragons. And I think the one here, again, who cops a bit of flack or cop flack when he signed, but's been doing a really good job. I think Kyle Flanagan's been good for him. He's
again, another young half that you just need to stick with him.
Yeah, there's more around it, the fact that he's got dad who coaches and he's playing with him, and everyone carried on when he signed there. But I'm like, well, you need to actually understand the job that he does. He's made Ben Hunt able to do whatever he wants. Ben Hunt's been so much more effective for them not having to think and steer that team. And it shows in the way he's played so far. He's got the most try assists in NRL this year. He's been running the football more. It's having a great impact on football games because Kyle will do all the boring, menial stuff. And his old man said as much. I know what he does, and I know it's going to help Ben. Ben doesn't have to think anymore. Kyle runs the points, runs the kick, gets in the ball when he needs it, and then he does all the little things well. Like he backed up Lomax on the great kick contest where he snatched it off Buller. The man standing right next to him who ran 50 metres to be there was Kyle Flanagan. Is he a world beater? No, but you want to talk about value for money to complement the seven you've got, the one you've got, and the way your team plays. Man, he's value for money and then some. And there's not many halves out there. So, yeah, he's doing a hell of a job. I
Good
thought,
coaching. Yeah, good coaching.
good again on the weekend. But yeah, he's getting the
The
best out of
thing
all.
is, like, as a dad, like, he'd know what he's good at,
Oh,
and then
100%.
build your team and build the way you want to play around that, you know?
But he's getting the best out of a lot of guys. You know, Little always had talent.
We like we enjoyed coaching him for the limited time we had him at Mounties. Like Mick Potter always, always said that he needed 2 or 3 years of, footy against men, and that was obviously impacted a little bit by COVID as well. But he just needed, he needed consistent footy at open age level because he was. Not quite Nathan Cleary status coming through, but he wasn't far off
Yeah, he
in
was.
terms of how he dominated the lower grade. So again, it's just another message about persisting with halves.
Well, he wasn't bad at the Roosters. It's just they have such a
It
high
wasn't
bar.
bad with him.
Another
No.
bloke coming through, and they're ruthless. That's all. They looked at Walker and looked at him and thought, well, he's probably got a little bit more of what we're looking for in terms of style of play. We don't need a steering wheel. We've got one with Kiri, so they got rid of him.
Hold on.
That's just what they do. But yeah, I didn't understand the hoopla because I thought signing his old man was a great idea, but him as well as a bit of a inclusion, whether he ended up being a backup or off the bench or whatever he was going to be. He's, again, if you go watch Cup and you go, look, there's not a lot of halves out there. Having a good backup's one thing. There's not many of them there, but to have someone competent and capable to be able to free up, your million-dollar player, which he has done so far, he's well and truly played above and beyond, I'm sure, a lot of Dragons' expectations. But Sewell was another one. I was confident this year. He's a Flanagan-style guy. I think he's back in red-hot form. There's a lot of talk that teams are interested. He wants to stay, though. I think they're keen to keep him, but he had an absolute cracker of a game on the weekend. That's all those guys. Little had an injury-interrupted career. I think he's playing his best football. Molo's been disappointing while he's there. He's been better. There's been a lot of guys that have just stepped up under this new regime. And even a guy like DeBellin back from his dramas, I sort of thought he'd never hit the same point, but he brings him in after 20. He just works himself to a standstill, carries, offloads, distribute and roll. But more than that passing he was doing, he's just up and down the field working his tail off. So at the moment, they have patches where they come in and out of games and they don't have overall quality, but you can certainly see the direction they're heading. The Tigers. Probably the big thing, it's scary to say, can see the difference without Galvin. And that's pretty scary when an 18-year-old has such a.
We see these guys like these generational players, don't we? Like it looks as though he's got a bit of that in him.
Yeah, and don't get me
So hopefully
wrong.
for the Tigers, he is a generational talent.
Sullivan early on had some touches and looked pretty keen to, show his wares against his old team, but second half didn't run the ball a lot and they didn't have the greatest of second half, mind you, and got off track a little bit with the two clamour high shots and penalties and a few brouhahas. But yeah, I think Galvin coming back in next week and the way that was starting to build with him and Buller, what Arpy's been doing. They also had a few others out, Bateman, Samuel. Like I think he's made 4 or 5 changes this week with some bodies coming back. So yeah, they just looked a little bit flat and a little bit underwhelming, and the attack lacked that spark. So I'm sure they'll be very happy to get him back and a couple of big bodies this week. So bit of a write-off, and that's 9 losses in a row at Campbelltown. So hasn't been a
Ouch.
hunting ground, but those fans turned up, obviously, with the positives they've seen. I'd say what I said last week, with what you've seen so far, when they go there again, turn up again. With Buller, Galvin, these sort of guys there, just stick solid.
Yeah.
Things are going to get better. And the last one, Titans, Raiders. This definitely didn't pan out the way I thought it was going to pan out. For the way things were going, and obviously ending with the interesting and funny press conference, but I'll give a wrap to both teams. Congrats to the Raiders for being so dominant with possession and field position and territory and all the inside 20s. And I thought they did a great job in that regard, and they were pretty patient inside 20. They didn't get frustrated, even though things at times were a bit slow, and it's hard to play it from inside your 10, but also on the flip of that, I don't think the Titans have showed much at all, if anything, especially defensively. The other night, to make an extra 150 tackles and keep turning up on your goal line, I was probably more impressed, to be honest, with the way they transition off their goal line, the few times they avoided having points put on them. But yeah, like I said, it's a game again that's divided people with a few talking points, but at the end of the day, it's rugby league. Every week, you can nitpick. People are going back to Annesley's thing now, saying, well, Chevy was offside. It's like, well, almost someone's offside on every single play. And I
Yeah,
think,
but they also said they could have penalised the Titans 28 more times.
yeah,
So I'm
that's what
not
I mean. Then they said the
sure.
numbers that of six agains or rucks, like Canberra's was 10 and theirs was like 32. So it's like, well, if you.
Yeah, look, it was a dour game. Put it that way,
Was.
coaching in it. It was, yeah, it was a dour game. But look, like Ricky said in the press conference, like, the Titans came with a plan, and the plan almost worked. But I think people have missed the actual point of what Ricky said. Like, Ricky's point was that if you want to see games where that's going to be rewarded, then sweet, everyone will go and readjust, and we'll play that way. We'll play accordingly, and we'll train accordingly. It was a little bit of an outlier in regards to, yeah, the slowing tactics, and then it just dulled the game, which you probably see one of them a week, to be fair, like, where you do get a bit of a well, certainly a mismatch in regards to where the teams were positioned on the table, but that's as good as the Titans have played all year by a mile, by an absolute mile. I mean, like, AJ Brimson, watching him live, like, having him closer to the ball was a real masterstroke. Like, just putting him in there and having him run. Like, just, he runs to break the line. He runs with aggression, and he's so difficult to tackle. And then it's so difficult to handle his play the ball and then the play that comes after it. So having him around the ball was certainly a really, really good move. Obviously, earlier in the week, we thought that Boyd would play, and then we got wind that he was dropped, and they were going to move Brimson in closer to the ball. So I think straight away that probably made their kicking game a little bit less effective. Like, it meant that Foran had to do a little bit more of the kicking, because Tanner Boyd is a very, very good kicker of the ball. But what they sort of lost a little bit in regards to their kicking game, they certainly picked it up in the fact that they had Brimson around the footy, and he's such a run threat, and a real dangerous player and aggressive runner of the footy. So, and then you had, the fact that we had some injuries and some guys that were debuting, and it just, yeah, it made for a really, really good night for the club. Obviously a really, really exciting win, and a really tough game for the Titans to lose. So I think that was probably why, Des was a little bit frustrated, and that's to be expected. I think it's
No one wants to go
been
like
beat up. Like,
the
we, I certainly, I was in the sheds after the game, and I certainly wasn't aware of anything that went on. I read it yesterday, like everyone else did. So, like, it is what it is. I think it's good for the game. It's good that
It's footy. They're competitors.
they're both competitive guys, and they want to win. And I think there's a real strong respect there. They're both senior guys who have been coaching for a long time, so there's certainly a high level of respect for each other. But they're competitive. Like, That's the environment. That's professional sport. So, neither of them are going to be happy to walk out of there with a loss.
No, I
So
thought.
it's not playing Uno with Nanny Nola. It's playing heaps. Even she used to lick cards and cheat. So,
But again, like for Desi, again, you go whatever you want. You're going to do what you got to do to try and get a win. They almost, come out of there with the whole kit and caboodle, which would have been a huge upset considering. Especially after watching Brian Kelly's first off the tee, he looked like me with the driver in my hand. I thought, there's no way. But I walked out of the room and said he'll probably kick this now, the second one. And sure enough, he did. But yeah, the first one with
Mate,
Sheffy.
the second one did not look like missing. Like straight off the boot, it was arrow straight and he just pumped it.
Well, he faded it. He didn't draw it in. I was like, okay, that's completely different. But yeah, they had two cracks at field goal. They got the best of the opportunity there early. The Chevy one, obviously. And they got the ball back, but it was called knock on. And then Foran had a crack the second one and just sort of sprayed it wide. And old Kieran, his hinges and his joints, he moves about as well as I do, which is not exactly the greatest at this point in time.
I
And then,
love him though. I love him as a player.
oh, he's an
He
absolute
just
weapon, that
he's
fella.
an old school half. Like he's so crafty. Like it was really cool to watch him play live. Like it's the first time I've seen him play live for a long time. So
He's another
yeah, he
one.
just gets that
He's
team
been
around the field really well. Like with between him and then you got Brimson, who's just a maniac on the ball. It was good.
You know who
Good
Foran
game.
met up
Obviously,
there?
good for us to get away with the win. That's what we were happy about, particularly at home. Like it keeps our home undefeated home record up through three games. Like we debuted Chevy, who we're hoping is going to be a long-term fullback for us. And Trey Mooney had his first game of the year. He's had a strong start in New South Wales Cup. I think the form of Xavier Savage has probably been a little bit understated. Like, he's been playing such good footy. Like his run meters are through the roof. He's got speed, footwork, and he finally looks like he's got confidence. Like he's running and he's playing like he belongs in first grade.
Yeah,
So
he's still got
that's exciting for the
moment
club as
here
well.
or there, but he's learning, you know.
I just watching him even
Oh,
since
he's
I got to the club. Like I obviously got to the club after the Christmas break. And just even in the time since January till now, he's just come along every week, and he's one that the club's persisted with and coached and nurtured, and yeah, it's really cool. He's in a really good place at the moment. He's playing really, really good footy.
Yeah, he is. And Shill's certainly taken his opportunity, come up with a nice grab again, some good moments.
Well, like, Shield's got the ability to, win aerial contests, and he's got speed, and Tomoko and Seb in the centers, they're both really difficult guys to tackle one on one, and they're both physical. They're a lot bigger than what you think when you're up close and personal with them. So yeah, extremely happy with our outside back situation, that's for sure.
Well, I'm
And then
going to
look
throw it
at
out there
Strange
again.
is doing, like
Oh, mate, his
Strange is
moment
flying.
again at the end of the game to stutter step and get on the outside
It's
there. Like
just backyard footy, right? Like he's such again, a really humble kid, a guy that hasn't played a lot of first grade. Like that's his sixth first grade game. And he's gonna have ups and downs, no doubt about it, and that's what happens with young halves. And but at the moment it's just really nice to see him playing his own game, and like that's what Ricky keeps pushing. And just play your game, and Jamal's sort of playing that senior figure and kicking us into good positions.
His kicking game at the moment is like up there with Cleary.
And he's like really taking ownership of it. Like it's something he's really, really enjoying, and yeah, he's putting us in very, very good positions to
Mate,
kill
seriously,
his game.
the golden point bombs, like the cage kicks from halfway, like some people have to sacrifice distance for height of height. Like he's getting those 50 with good height inside the 10.
But like he works extremely hard at it. Like, and
Oh, I know,
everyone
and
like
he's a
he
strong little
works
bugger.
hard, works hard. But He really does, and he's a student, and he's always watching video, and yeah, he deserves everything he gets because he's a cracker human as well. So, you know, the first grade of 4 and 4 and 2, and you know, we had that one blip at Shark Park, which you know was a blip that whole weekend for you know for us and first grade just wasn't acceptable, wasn't good enough. But otherwise, you know, the really tough, gritty loss in New Zealand. So, you know, one blip in 6 weeks is, yeah, we're happy with that. So you're sort of getting through that first quarter of the season and going, okay, we're in a good place, but you just want to keep striving for improvement. And, you know, going back to the Titans, that's certainly what they saw. Like, that was a significant improvement in performance. Like, I know you don't walk away with 2 points, but man, if they played like that for the
They would have
first
won
five
probably two or
games,
three games.
first 4 games a year, because they had the bye, they wouldn't be sitting without a win. So their first win isn't far away if they keep playing like that.
No. And funnily enough, off the week and probably a bit of emotion, Desi goes up against Manly. So be interesting to see how they back it up
Oh,
this
wow.
week.
Where is that? Is that up there? Or is that at Manly?
I think it might be on the Goldie. It's on the Gold Coast on Saturday at 5:30.
They've been a bit of a bogey side, I think, for
In
Manly, the
the
Gold
past, they
Coast.
have.
Yeah.
In terms of changes, Jaden Campbell is out with that knee. Philip Semmy's back from injury. He's playing fullback. I actually like that idea.
I really like Philip Sammy.
So
He's a
do I,
good
but
player.
why not get the ball in one of your better players' hands? Like, leave AJ and four, and that probably should have been the case from the start. But yeah, just put Semmy at one and let him run. He'll run bloody 250 plus.
Yeah.
And like when you're a bit short in spots, they're probably a bit light on the outside backs at the moment. You've got to lean into that. They brought JoJo in to bring someone probably a bit more solid for yardage. Cam Pereira being dropped surprised me. I think that's more of a result of what the forwards weren't doing more than what he was doing. But yeah, I think Semi at one, when you've got AJ there, like you just need your best players in key positions touching the footy. He's certainly one of them. But the other one for me, again, the other night, and I sing his praises almost every week, but Joe Tarpany for 300 metres, 26.
He ran for 300 meters.
Mate, so he's an
Wow.
absolute weapon, that bloke. And then at the end, even when Kelly ran that inside ball, he was the only one who sort of picked up on it. He didn't quite make the tackle, but I'm like, how are you still standing, mate? Like,
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, he just worked himself to the bone. But yeah, some good signs there. Four wins, like you said, Hosk. Unfortunately, with a shoulder. So it's a couple now between him, Whitehead, and a few others. But, so far, I've done a pretty good job around, the few injuries and coverage. Hopefully, that's the case this week against Brisbane.
Yeah, well, that's going to be an exciting game as well. So, bit of a weird week because Jersey Flegg play Melbourne in Melbourne, first grade play Broncos in Brisbane on Saturday, and then we play North Sydney in Sydney on Sunday. So it's, you know, we've gone from having three grades at home for the last 2 weeks to now, you know, we're Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane this weekend. But yeah, they're the challenges of the NRL on these, you know, state-based comps.
Can I ask you one other question now that we've wrapped up the games?
Go on.
Do you understand what a disruptor is? Because I don't.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Well, I think I do, but I've seen a few so far and I'm like, well, I don't
Yeah,
agree.
essentially it's someone who dives and then pulls out of catching.
Yeah, well, I've seen a
Oh,
few
sorry,
where
dives. Sorry, it's someone who jumps and then feigns to catch and pulls their hands away, or feigns to contest and actually doesn't contest.
well.
I don't know whether it was that how do I say it, that like it was happening that often that we needed to start to try and look for them. Like, I feel like it's something that's extremely like obvious when it happens. You just go, like, that's, he's not jumping for the ball. Or there was one last weekend where someone jumped and then deliberately pulled their hands away.
Yeah. But I've seen a
I'm not
few
even
that
sure
I
it's
thought were
illegal,
genuine.
but I guess if we're going to penalise it, then we're going to penalise it. I don't
I've
know.
seen contests, though, with genuine challenges or jump timing and that, and they've still pinned blokes. So I'm like, well, that's a contest as far as my eye
And
can see.
that's probably more my point. Like, I think we're probably going too hard at it at the moment.
Well, I think we're, yeah, jumping at shadows. It's another rule that I look at and go, well, this is never going to be consistent. Like,
and that's right. Once the rule sort of comes in, we sort of start to look for that infringement rather than just, you know, penalising them naturally when they happen.
Like, you know, the Carrera one the other night, that's fair enough, but that's, you know, like any normal kick interference. He got there early, took Chevy out. It's like, that's just a mistake in timing. It's easy to pick that one.
That's not a disruptor, though.
No, you know what I mean? But there's other ones that have been contests and they're slowing it down and looking at the bunker and watching his eyes and his hands. And there's a few that I've been like, well, that was a contest. They're like, well, no, mistimed his jumper. He's done this. I'm like, well, that's, again, saying that everything has to be perfect. Not everything is perfect in rugby league.
Yeah.
But if you're generally contesting for a ball, you can't get penalised for it.
No.
But, yeah, it's one so far that I've been a bit annoyed with because, to me, it's just a shit penalty. There's blatantly obvious ones and there's some that they're really nitpicking.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, mate, what else has been happening? You got anything for the listeners? You got any movies or books or anything else going on? Any more people yelled at you as Buzz?
No, no one's yelled at me recently.
People in Canberra, step your game up. Please, if you
see. I got yelled at a little bit at Newtown. I got yelled at a little bit. That was probably to be expected. When I go to Brookvale in a couple of weeks, no doubt I'll get yelled at, but that's okay.
I'm hoping to get there for at least half of that before I have to go commentate.
Yeah. Anyway. No, what are we? What we watched Masters of the Air.
Masters of the Air, what's that?
Which is the...
Oh, is that the Apple show with Austin Butler?
Band of Brothers, The Pacific, and Masters of the Air is the third installment of, like, Spielberg, Tom Hanks.
So is it Austin Butler? And that was,
yes, absolutely sensational. Like, unbelievable. So, and then there's a documentary that goes with it, which is called The Bloody 100th, and it's narrated by Tom Hanks and then, yeah, directed by Spielberg, I think. And yeah, it basically goes through, you know, recaps the show and then shows you footage, actual footage, and, you know, where it goes through the different characters and their lives and where they ended up afterwards and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, it was really, really cool. So I finished off the Patriots documentary. I started watching the pardon?
It made me angry.
It didn't make me angry.
Dynasty.
One episode angry when I had to relive the Super Bowl.
Well, I think the Crafts tried to basically assassinate Bill Belichick, so I'm off them.
Yeah, I just think there's a lot of ego that comes into that. Like, that organization to me now reeks of, like, it's a lot of ego about who is responsible for certain things. And
yeah,
Bill, it's almost Bill like has- they can't just coexist and all acknowledge that they all had, you know, not an equal, you know, contributing status to the success. It's almost just like they're all chopping each other to say that, you know, I was more of a contributor to the success than someone else.
To me, Bill and Tom have been awfully respectful to one another. Then the Crafts have put this piece of drivel out, making
I agree with that.
I looked at that and sort of thought, well, the only people who have come out of this looking like shitbags are the actual owners. And if people who have been patient the last few years because they respect Belichick and Tom, and anything that's happened in the past, I think anyone who would have watched that who's a Patriots fan now is looking going, well, you two are a pair of clowns. And they've backtracked on a lot now. And there's a lot of players coming out because the way that was cut and edited, sticking up for Belichick or saying as much about certain things and comments, and Edelman in particular, one of them, and a lot of other
people. You weirdo Patriot fans you guys can argue about that. I enjoyed the documentary and I didn't read too much into it. I want to watch the Man City one that's just come on Netflix. That'd be good.
Oh, the treble.
Yeah, I want to watch that.
Well, if you want to go off, I've got one.
You got what's that?
Saw the short on Amazon, and the short made me laugh, but the movie was excellent. Ricky Stenicki on Amazon.
What is it?
Zac Efron, Andrew Santino, who's a comedian. And it's got John Cena. It's like, it'd be an R18 if it was the cinema these days. But essentially, three friends who have grown up, they've had a fake friend their whole life who they use as a cover for all this sneaky shit they get up to, and it comes back to bite them on the ass.
So is it a comedy?
It's a comedy. It's bloody funny.
Okay.
We watched it last night, and me and Case obviously don't have the same humor, but even she found it funny. So I was like, if she's on board, it's got to be doing something right. Because generally she looks at me like, what the fuck are you laughing at?
Yeah, fair enough.
Ricky Stenicki.
Otherwise, yeah, no, not too much. Watching a lot of footy, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. That's your Jera.
Yeah. No, that's about it. Looking forward to the basketball hitting playoffs. That'll be good.
Yep,
I think the
so
playing tournament's like this week, isn't it?
yeah, so it's the one seed.
Well, that was the one seed like 2 weeks ago.
Like 14 wins clear or something ridiculous. But that's yeah, that's not too far off in the draft, NFL drafts in a few weeks.
Well, playing tournament's tomorrow.
What's that, sorry?
Playing tournament is tomorrow.
There you go. And then we've got the draft on Anzac weekend.
Anzac Day, isn't it? No, sorry, the day after Anzac Day.
Pat's still sitting at the third pick. We'll definitely have to take a quarterback, surely.
What have we got here? What have we got here? I'm looking at the screen.
Usually 3 days or whatever. Round one, rounds two and three, and then five to seven that is pumped through. But
NBA playing tournament. Here we go. NBA playing tournament, mate.
the draft here says the 25th to the 27th, so that here is the 26th. So that's Friday.
So playing game one, 76ers versus Heat. Playing game two, Pelicans versus Lakers.
Celtics Heat, okay.
No. 76ers Heat.
76, sorry. So who's Celtics got?
No, so this is
Oh, you're
the
talking about the play-in.
yeah.
Oh, we get the winner of the play-in, don't we?
So the East, we do, yeah. From the Eastern Conference, Philly Heat, Bulls, and Atlanta.
Bill Simmons will be rolling around praying we don't get
Pelicans,
the heat.
Lakers, Kings, and Warriors will be they're in the West. It's good, man. So what is the format? So it's seventh plays eighth. The winner goes straight through
Yeah.
as the seventh seed.
And then what they'll choose up plays 9-10.
Then nine plays 10. The loser of that's gone. And then the winner of that plays the loser of 7-8.
Yeah, for the
And
eight seed.
that team then becomes the 8 seed.
Yeah.
I like it. I reckon it's unreal.
Well,
So
pretty good
essentially,
point.
if you're ninth and 10th, you have to beat ninth, 10th, and then the 8, like 7 or 8 to get in. So you got to win two elimination games to get into the playoffs. If you're 7 and 8, you get basically two chances to you win one of two and you're in. So I guess it just creates like a playoff prior to the playoffs, really.
Well, like I said, Bill Simmons absolutely curses the Heat, so he'll be hoping that's not who we get.
Yeah.
He'll want them to win the 7v8 clash to avoid them at probably any cost. He's always talking about the Heat, regardless of how they've gone during the year.
Yeah.
On the flip side, the Warriors slipping it at 10. I haven't seen much of it this year, but I don't think they are obviously what they used to be. But between them and the Lakers and all that, that other side, Thunder, that's massive by the Thunder with that young group.
Yeah, 100%. Mm.
Nuggets, obviously, the one that everyone knows. The Suns, people have been questioned all year. They're sort of coming to a little bit of form. Got,
There's the Knicks finished. Knicks finished second.
Oh, have you seen that guy? The Knicks guy? Don't you wish you went to the Knicks? You got to look that up.
Yeah.
Out of control. It's Durant or someone didn't go there and he just loses it and everyone's into it. The New Yorkers are crazy. They'd be stoked. They've been awful forever.
London's one seed. Well,
Yeah, Giddy and all the guys over there, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They had Chet come back last year after being the pick and getting
yeah.
injured.
Look, I'll say this. I think they'll be They might win one series, and then that'll be the end of them.
Oh, it
I
depends
like
on the
Nuggets and
matchup.
Timberwolves. Nuggets and Timberwolves in the West for me. In the East, I like Celts and Bucks.
Yeah, I think Giannis is injured at the moment. I don't know how he's going to come back.
That's it. They're my predictions.
Yeah,
They're my
I think
predictions.
Celts, I don't know really the other side. Celts Knicks wouldn't surprise me, to be fair, given the way they've played this year with Brunson, that they've been good. But yeah, Nuggets are the real obvious one on the other side. I'd like to see the Suns make a run with Durant and Booker in that.
Yeah.
Don't know if it'll happen, but it would be nice to
It would be.
other than that, 6 rounds gone, friend. Quarter of the season is over.
Yeah, that's right.
It's getting to
Good
that
point.
time. I know you said before we're not talking about Origin, but everyone's starting to talk about it. Madge had a camp this week, brought in some spine players and some people, and starting to work or look at what the team looks like. And they've also taken away from the city. They're going to be up in the Blue Mountains.
Yeah,
He's
it's a
going
good idea. I like it.
camp mentality, taking them away. I think it's good.
I like it.
And he's mad as a cut snake. So.
Everyone in New South Wales will like it until we lose a game, and then everyone will be trying to blow holes in it.
I'll
That's
sit
just
there
what.
thinking today, not even on form, but I just get the feeling he's going to go a different direction.
Yeah, I just want to see him do it his way.
Oh, I think he will. That's why I sat there today in my head going,
Good.
the kind of people to me that are Madge people are people like Barnett and McInnes and these kind of types. Like, I don't think it's going to be a pretty team. I think it's going to have a bit more of a Queensland vibe to it.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
Bit more filth and anger. Like, Liam Martin and some of the guys have already been there, suit that mold, but I think there might be three or four that people look at and go, oh, okay. But I think it's going to suit the way he's going to want him to play. And there's going to be a bit more of that mentality of, let's go to war rather than, oh yeah, we've picked the red hot team.
Yeah.
I think it's going to have a bit more of a Queensland vibe to it in that regard. Or we sometimes look at their team and go, like Reuben Cotter in the front row and this guy and that, maybe they're a bit smaller. We've got better individuals. They just seem to come together more as a group. I think he's going
Yeah.
to bunker down and have the biceps twitching and things are going to get a bit nasty.
Yeah.
I bloody hope so, anyway.
So do I.
We'll have to look at that soon, what your week's like that week, and if you're going to be able to get back.
What date is it?
Because obviously it's fast approaching.
What date is Origin in Sydney?
Origin game one is the 5th of June. That is
Yeah,
the Sydney.
we're not game one, are we?
We're game one, Sydney.
Oh, yeah, okay.
June 5th. Yeah, and then it goes to Melbourne
June
for game
5. Who
two.
do we play in Cup in June 5?
Yeah, the second game's MCG, which I hate. Because if we won a piece,
Who do
we're
we
going to
play in New
Queensland.
South Wales Cup that week, man?
I'm flicking forward, mate. June 8th, you've got the Magpies at Lidcombe up in Sydney.
On the Saturday.
Saturday. And I think NRL have the bye that week, maybe.
Saturday, June 8th.
And the week prior, you're off a bye. So you've got a bye that week. Before.
The week before.
Yeah.
And
Then you got a Saturday.
what day is the game? On a Wednesday.
Wednesday. And NRL, I don't know if you're. I think they had a bye around then for the
They're
Origin.
going to buy that weekend. Yeah.
So, week pre-Origin without players, they play Saturday in Redcliffe NRL.
Okay, so we'll train Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, so you got the bye
Something.
off Origin and you play Dolphins the week before.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about Cup. We'll train
Yeah.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, play Saturday.
It's a good week to have the bye for Cup.
I'll probably have Wednesday off that week, so that'll be all right. I'll be able to come up during the day and then watch a game, and then I'll probably just have to drive home that night.
Bugger that, go in the morning.
Oh, I could go in the morning. Yeah. It just depends
80,000. We won't be
what
getting out of
time the
there.
train.
We shan't be getting out of there quick.
Yeah, I know. It's all good. It's only 2 hours 45 to get home, so
Yeah, but bloody 10 o'clock sort of finish time and getting out and car parking.
Yeah.
You're like,
So I'm home by one. It's all right.
yeah.
We'll see
If
how we go. Yeah.
you're driving a spaceship.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, so
This is good.
you might be right for game one. That'll be good. That'll work out,
Yeah.
hopefully.
Yeah, I'll make it work.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't, but I only thought about it yesterday. Said it to Casey. She goes, "You're going to take me if Brock's not coming?" I'm like, I might ask Khalifa. She's like, yeah.
Yeah, what?
She's like, "Oh, I thought I was going to get the call up." And I'm like, "Yeah,
Did you
maybe."
say put your manners back in?
Put your manners back in, Peter. So if Brock's not on board, I might take Loft. But yeah, you might get a
Oh, look,
run.
I love you, Casey, but that's where I draw the line.
Yeah. So, in terms of football games of that magnitude or a grand final, there might be two or three picks before you get a run.
I could be in Madagascar and I'll still be coming.
Yeah. That was my hopes and thoughts. But yeah, looking at that draw, that should work out. Your boys will be in Red.
We'll definitely have Wednesday off.
Yeah, well, they're in
If I
Redcliffe.
play
You've got the
Saturday,
bye.
train Thursday, Friday, we'll definitely have Wednesday off. So.
So bye the week before leading into that, and then yeah, you're back at it in Lidcombe. So I'll see you the weekend after anyway. You'll be back in Sydney a few days later. I've
Oh,
got a
so
bye.
New South Wales Cup's got the bye the week before, and the NRL's got the
NRL's
bye
got the
that week.
bye the week after.
Yeah, right.
And you're in Lidcombe and I've got the bye.
Thank you, New South Wales Rugby League. That was good of you.
Oh yeah. And my draw for commentating, that's my first bye weekend is when you play on the Saturday. So I'll be able to come to Lidcombe.
Liquor. How good.
Very,
That is pure Sydney old school rugby league.
Sydney pure old school rugby league. Like the Ron Massey game the other year with Mounties when it was like flooded and bogged and we won by a penalty goal.
One by a penalty goal, I reckon.
Yeah, we did. It was a rough day that
Well, wins a win.
Oh, yes.
That was my last game of Ron Massey Cup, coach Ron Massey Cup.
Oh, I remember.
That was a
Actually,
weird time. A weird time to be alive.
oh yeah, things got weird, all right.
Very
They got real.
weird.
All life experience in the end.
Yeah.
We're all better for it. So yeah, bloody hell. All
There we
right,
go.
I've chewed your ear off
Oof.
to the wrong friend. I'll let. Have you eaten or done anything yet, or what have you done since you got home?
No, I haven't eaten nor showered.
You got
It's
issues. You should have
good.
told me that before we started, and I wouldn't have talked shit for another half hour.
All good.
Just, yeah.
Oh, good.
It's what I do sometimes, mate. But people out there, if you see Box in Canberra, again, buzz him. Get your buzz on. Say hi.
Yeah. If you want to see me, I'm either at Roasters in Braddon or I'm at Elemental Cafe. They're our two favourite haunts.
Elemental's still there. Wow.
Elemental is, I get a chicken salad sandwich here with beetroot on it. It is the greatest thing I've ever had in my life.
Well, you
They have
wouldn't
this
get a boat.
chili mayonnaise or chili relish, chicken, lettuce, mayo, chili relish, cheese, carrot, onion and beetroot on like a sourdough rye bread. It is the greatest thing I've ever eaten in my life.
I would say you wouldn't have been to Momo because you don't train over near the stadium anymore.
I've been there once because we go over there a little bit.
Yeah.
I went over there a couple of times for junior reps.
Momo's good too.
Yeah. And I think I stopped in for a coffee there. I think I stopped there last year when I came down with Manly.
It used to be the go-to because obviously it was closer to the old training ground, but now obviously Braddon, where we used to be the junior field, has now got the centre of excellence there. So Momo used to be the spot that most people were near or you'd go to for a Sanger or a coffee, but Elemental was there before. That's still there. That's good to know. But there's a fair few places in town now that weren't there. It's a good food spot now, Canberra.
Mate, unbelievable. Yeah, roasters do unreal. Like they do toasted sandwiches in there. They're great. Their coffee's excellent. Lonsdale Street coffee. I think Elemental do their own beans. So I might actually have to get a bag of Elementals and stick them in the machine at home.
Oh, I'm going to come disrupt you one day at training.
Yeah, you can come whenever.
I'll have to
Come on.
find a week where you know what you You don't end
Yeah,
up.
bring Henley. You can bring Henley down. Henley loves it.
I'll put your kid on and try and confuse a few people.
He wants to Henley wants to get his footy card signed, so there you go.
Well, I've seen in the last 2 days. I've popped into the old man's a couple of times.
Yeah, he wants to get all his footy card signed, so.
Yesterday they brushed me. It was TV time just after a shower, so that was zoned out.
Yeah,
Day
that's
before I
fine.
got there, it was the witching hour. It was awesome.
Are they going crazy?
Was great. I walked in at my favourite time. I got right involved.
Great.
Willow was having an
The old
absolute
man will be ready for him to go home by the end of the week. Don't worry about that.
thrill. I'm going there for. We organise spaghetti night tomorrow night. I'm going there for dinner.
Who's cooking?
I don't know. Probably dad, but I don't know.
That ain't gonna cook spaghetti. I hate spaghetti.
That's why I laughed when he said spaghetti because the kids and everyone. I'm like, you hate spaghetti. This is great.
It's tucked in, mate. I'm gonna ring you tomorrow. Go
So
enjoy your spaghetti, champ.
I love spaghetti. Everyone else loves spaghetti except you. But the kid, Kay, Nick said the same thing. Kids love spaghetti. I was like, yep.
Spaghetti night. There you go. Righto.
So I'm going there after work tomorrow whenever I finish. Lock that one in.
I might have to have spaghetti just in honor of
I'll get you
the
back
great
on the Zoom.
Gary Shepherd, is one of the great spaghetti haters you've ever met in your life.
Is he talks about red sauce, doesn't suit with him. I'm like, well, I don't know how cream white sauce does he any better. That generally undoes people.
Doesn't suit me either. I have Mexican or Italian like red sauce, and my gout just goes on fire.
Well, I obviously didn't get that,
Yes,
but I love
but I
it.
will say I saw a doctor in Canberra, and they said to me, drink beetroot juice, have like a 30 ml shot of beetroot juice every morning, and you will never have gout. And I've done it every morning for the last month, and I've been eating onion, like all the stuff that sets my gout off. Haven't had gout, so there you go.
There you go, Dr.
There's a
Brock
little bit
on
of
that one for
medical
you.
advice. And actually, now I'm like getting beetroot on my sandwiches, putting it on my hamburgers. Like I'm on a beetroot run at the moment. That's my food at the moment.
If it frees you up to get a bit of acid in you, well, all for it.
That's great.
Enjoy.
Because everyone's like, oh, as soon as you say gout, people are like, oh, you're a big drinker. I'm
Yeah,
like,
you're an
no,
alka.
I'm lucky to have one can after a win. Well, you know, if you guys come, or I go up our local here with Hutcho or whatever, I'll have two or three pints, and I'll never get gout. I never have big sessions on the drink. Maybe once or twice a year, I have bloody one pickle or a hamburger or a feed of spaghetti, and I get gout. Or I'll
We have
get a burrito from Guzman, and I get gout.
an old bloke at work who I absolutely love because we have another bloke who I'll we'll name one nameless. He probably listens to this, but too bad. He gets gout a fair bit for pounding the
Yeah.
kids. And the other bloke tells him he's got Drunk's disease. I love
That's
it. Every time he walks in the limb, he's straight into him going, oh, you got the Drunk's disease again. And
great.
I'm just
Well,
like,
hang
oh.
on. Hey, Pop Bob gets it. So they reckon it's hereditary. So I've obviously got his shit gene. So thanks,
Well, he
Pop.
doesn't have a drink.
That's what I'm saying. He gets it, same stuff. He gets it tomato onion, same as me.
Yeah.
It's a killer.
That's right. We all get things defective, like the peanut gene that nobody got. Like, where did that come from?
Yeah, but at least you just can't have it. So you,
Well, some people are still trying to give it to me.
yeah.
Thanks a lot,
Filthy
Chinese restaurant.
takeaway shop owners with peanut oil. You go,
Hey,
nah,
you
it's
need
not peanut
Canada? No, I don't. Next minute.
oil. Next minute, I can't breathe.
It's happened three times. It's great.
It's not peanut oil off.
Yes. Well, I'll let you go, buddy, so you can shower, eat, and cleanse yourself. This
Yeah.
podcast was brought to you by the Penrith Solar Centre, Jake, and the team there. Give them a call today, 1800 20 29 30, or visit penrithsolar.com.au. The Elon of Penrith, the crazy bastard, has his own business name spelled on his ginormous roof in solar panels. There's no one better. Get in touch with Jake and the team there. Boxhead, pleasure as always, friend. I'll have to FaceTime you tomorrow night for spaghetti night.
Yeah, easy. Sounds good.
I'll get you on the FaceTime with the kids. And Sunday, I'll see you at North Sydney.
Sounds good.
So there you go. If anyone's around, can't
People
miss
might
this.
yell at me at North Sydney this week. It's pretty close to Manly, so.
Someone will yell, yeah, or again, it's not hard to pick our heads. So if you're around North Sydney, say hi.
Yeah, come say good day, mate.
But for now, box head, enjoy yourself, mate. Go get a feed and a scrub and everybody out there. Be back tomorrow to preview round 7 with Timmy Witt.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.